This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on our various social media channels, such as Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter, to follow our programming accordingly. We are also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today we are speaking with distinguished facial plastic surgeon and expert Dr. Monica Tadros. Multiple locations serve the tri-state area, with offices located on Park Avenue in Manhattan and in Bergen County, New Jersey. Dr. Tadros specializes in rhinoplasty, sinus surgery, and other highly advanced cosmetic innovations, both invasive procedures and non-invasive treatments. Dr. Tadros, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to join you.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us today. So how can the form and function of a nose be affected by untreated nasal fractures, sinus circulation, and sleeping and breathing troubles? That touch on those areas to kick things off today.
Yeah, sure. So many of my patients come in and they're either seeking a cosmetic change in an external appearance of their nose, and sometimes those changes can be visible from the outside, and other times they come with a whole bag of other symptoms like sinus disease, trouble breathing, trouble sleeping. And so we really have to take a step back and see what's going on with every patient. We need to see if they're able to breathe normally, or, you know, if their concern is strictly cosmetic, or if it's a little bit of both. And so many times patients will come in and they have no idea that they ever broke their nose. We often think of breaking our nose like getting hit in the face. You run to a mirror and you say, oh my God, thank God I didn't break my nose. But what can actually happen is the inside, way deep, closer to where your ears are, that could have broken, where the bridge is totally set. And when the deeper structures get affected, other things can happen that can sort of mess up our sinus circulation. And we don't necessarily see symptoms right away, but over the years, we have new symptoms that we may not have had prior to the trauma. And so it really takes taking a step back, trying to see what's going on, and seeing what sort of symptoms are the patient may be experiencing, and then relating it to rhinoplasty. And that's where form and function comes in. So how it looks is important. How it works is important. They're both equally important.
Touch on briefly, how can rhinoplasty help with the problems mentioned earlier, sinus circulation, sleeping and breathing troubles, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. So when we look at rhinoplasty, we generally think of a nose job. And so we think about the external structure, but there are two types of rhinoplasty. There is a cosmetic type of rhinoplasty, and then there's something that we call functional rhinoplasty. So when we're doing a functional rhinoplasty, we're looking to correct the anatomy to straighten the airways. And that, by consequence, looks good on the outside because the nose looks straighter. But on the inside, if you have something like a deviated septum, the way that air flows is not straight. So it feels good when air flows in a laminar, straight fashion, and it doesn't feel so good when air is turbulent or not flowing at all. So being able to straighten out the septum and building the sidewalls of the nose and allows air to circulate better. And consequently, if you have some sort of external deviation, external shift that looks kind of crooked, then we can correct that as well.
Shifting gears a little here, what techniques do you specialize in, and why is it important to understand the various areas for finding the proper surgeon?
So I am double board certified in both ENT, head and neck surgery, as well as facial plastic and reconstructive surgery. So when patients come to me, they're usually experiencing symptoms that may be medically concerning, as well as things that may be aesthetically concerning, because most of the things that function around the head and neck have a lot to do with how we look on the outside and how our appearance might appear. So scars on the face, things like sinus issues, things like rhinoplasty, they all focus on breathing. And so whether we're breathing well during the day, whether we're having difficulties breathing during exercise, whether we have difficulties breathing at night, so it focuses on issues with sleep. So I've pretty much taken my background and said, hey, how can I help one patient instead of having two doctors? And a lot of the things that really concern patients, so things that look cosmetically or are focused on reconstructive plastics and merging them with things that might be related to the ENT specialty. So what we really see is that sinus disease, migraine, headaches, sleep apnea, and sleep and breathing disorders really do highlight some of the functional things that can often cohabitate with plastics or reconstructive and cosmetic procedures of the face. So one of the things that I do when a patient comes in is I try and go back and say, okay, what are you actually experiencing? I have so many patients who have, for example, chronic sinusitis, but they also suffer from migraine headaches. And so that type of patient may do very well with treating their sinuses to decrease their migraine headaches. Using things like Botox therapy to also decrease some of the muscle spasms that are linked to migraine headaches. So it's a really neat way of treating patients that could benefit in multiple aspects.
Tell us, Dr. Tadros, what is the truth about narrow sinus anatomy and migraine headaches, including contact points inside the nose that are known to trigger migraines?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of patients suffer from migraine headaches. And so first, they'll try medical therapy. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And other times they'll say, you know, right around allergy season or whenever my allergies act up and I get a lot of sinus inflammation, it seems to worsen or escalate my migraine headaches. And there's a lot of truth to that because there is an internal anatomy whereby when the sinuses, deep in the sinuses, there's something called a middle turbinate. And it's very well known that if a person has something like a contra bullosa, that's really just an air bubble in the sinus area that takes up a lot of space. Well, then what may happen is you'll get some sort of inflammation, and that inflammational touch from that middle turbinate will touch the back of the septum. And there's a lot of nerves back there. So just given a little bit of extra inflammation, like a millimeter or two, can put a lot of pressure on those nerves, and it goes straight into the head, and they feel this lancinating, horrible headache. And many times we can really backtrack and do a CAT scan or even just a nasal examination to see if a person has this type of irregular anatomy and whether or not that may or may not be exacerbating the trigger point of their migraine headaches. Migraine headaches are really interesting in that way because we know now a lot of people are finding Botox therapy for migraine headaches extremely helpful. And the reason why that works is it breaks the vicious pain cycle. So you get a migraine headache, a lot more neurotransmitters and chemicals are released. You get your muscles go into a deeper spasm and it's really hard to break the cycle. So we're using things like Botox therapy where we will inject Botox into the muscle where there is a trigger point or a spasm, and that causes paralysis or relaxation of that muscle to break that cycle. So once you break the cycle, the migraine headaches in many patients will, if not go away completely, they will be dramatically lessened. And so we've learned that this cycle is something that we have to break to adequately treat migraine headaches.
Thanks for that thorough explanation there. Today we're joined by distinguished facial plastic surgeon and expert Dr. Monica Tadros, with offices located on Park Avenue in Manhattan, New York, and in Bergen County, New Jersey, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Tadros, who are the people continuing on? Who are the people most affected here, and what is the vast age range?
So anyone can really be affected because of a variety of factors. Usually it's sort of like the last straw that broke the camel's back. You may have started with a nasal trauma that then created bad sinus circulation, poor breathing, more inflammation and infections, and then all of a sudden you have a chronic problem. So really anyone can be affected. But what's most interesting to me is where does it all start? And I think many times when we're younger, a lot of patients who are younger will have some sort of nasal trauma. And one of the most important things to understand is the nose is not just your nasal bridge. So if you get evaluated for a broken nose in an emergency room, they might not know to look deeper. And so one of the things that we look at is what's happening in young kids who are breaking their nose and what's happening over a 10-year period causing them to develop some of these sinus conditions that they didn't even link back to that trauma. So young kids are definitely a sector that we need to take a closer look at. And the truth is there are a lot of things that can be done to optimize or fix nasal breathing in kids, even a deviated septum. And we're not so much thinking that we have to wait until they're older anymore to fix these fractures, because we have to weigh the development of the child in conjunction with further nasal growth. And the truth is, especially if you're looking at, you know, a 12 or 13-year-old, if their nose is adult size already, we don't really need to wait for it to get bigger. So we should probably correct a total nasal blockage and prevent them from getting sinus issues.
And why is it important to check for underlying nasal pathology like a deviated septum before rhinoplasty surgery?
So that's a really good point. What happens is I see a lot of patients after cosmetic rhinoplasty, and although it's wonderful and they just get disappointed because all of a sudden they really aren't breathing well, and they may have had a perfectly done rhinoplasty. So we're not talking about cases where patients had a bad nose job. We're just talking about looking at what's going on in the patient before they ever had the rhinoplasty. And what we have to realize is we're making the nose smaller, so there's less reserve after a rhinoplasty. So if a patient had a crooked septum but was able to breathe around that deviated septum before the surgery, they may feel a lot tighter after the surgery, and now that pre-existing imperfect anatomy is now unsurfaced. So it's really critical that before anyone undergoes rhinoplasty that they get a thorough nasal evaluation and make sure that we're not missing underlying nasal pathology such as a deviated septum or turbinate overgrowth or other sinus issues that may not be apparent before the surgery.
And lastly, what is the evolution of rhinoplasty like? What is the recovery like as well?
So what's really nice about rhinoplasty and all nasal surgery is that we've come a long, long way. There have been many recent advances, for example, especially in the sinuses, where we can do balloon sinus dilation. And what's really neat about that is we're able to actually pass something over a wire endoscopically and pass the balloon into the sinus and just dilate it. And the reason why it works is it just changes the aperture of the bone. So the bone goes from being really small, like less than a millimeter, to really big, about 8 millimeters, and allows the sinuses to drain. So gone are the days of very aggressive sinus surgery for mild to moderate disease, when we can use these really awesome tools to open up the sinuses and to drain more clearly in a way that sometimes we can do that even in the office and it doesn't even require general anesthesia. In terms of rhinoplasty and rapid recovery, we're doing a lot more with homeopathic medicines to decrease swelling and breathing and inflammation, and just different techniques with osteotomies, which is restructuring of the bone with pressure and other alternative therapies in order to decrease the bruising. And that's helped a lot.
Well, Dr. Todros, it certainly has been great to have had you. Valuable information in all regards. If you would tell our listeners where they can find more information about your practice online and how they could be in touch as well.
Yes, that's wonderful. We have offices on Park Avenue in Manhattan and Englewood, New Jersey. And visit please visit our website at drmonicatadros.com. It's drmonicatadros.com. Or you can try us at 855-DR-MONICA, 855-DR-MONICA.
Well, once again, it has been our pleasure to have had you, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with distinguished facial plastic surgeon and expert Dr. Monica Tadros, with offices located on Park Avenue in Manhattan and in Bergen County, New Jersey. And for more information and for contact, simply visit drmonicatadros.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.